Welcome to this ComputerWeekly.com podcast on storage tiering. I am Achana Venkatraman, Data Center Editor at ComputerWeekly.com. Today, I'm talking to Anthony Adshead, Storage Editor here at Computer Weekly. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Achana.
The first question I have for you today, Anthony, is what is storage tiering and why do I need to think about an SSD tier?
Well, Achana, storage tiering is the assignment of data to different classes of media, often automatically via features in the array, so that the data resides on the most suitable drive type. Most suitable in this case, meaning that data is matched to the drive type according to the performance and characteristics it requires. So, for example, hot data would live on a flash SSD tier, while relatively unused sets of data that might need to be pulled through for production work could live on cheap and relatively power-efficient SATA drives. In fact, the possibility of a flash SSD tier has really given storage tiering a kick up the backside. Previously, when all that was possible was tiering between different classes of spinning disk, it was often of marginal benefit, and the added performance and cost savings just didn't provide enough benefits to justify the spend. Flash changes that. Now, the SSD tier provides such a different level of performance that tiering has really become a worthwhile operation. And we know this is the case because we've asked readers in a storage magazine survey, which found that 3% of users have storage tiering and 60% of those have an SSD tier 0. The three key choices where to put flash, the most popular was in the array with 67% of respondents. The second most common was in the server, 33%, and the least popular was in a dedicated all-flash array. Most respondents to the survey use automated features on their arrays to move data between tiers, and we'll see how those work in a moment.
So, Anthony, how can I include storage tiering into my infrastructure?
The two main storage tiering options are to do it manually or to let the array or another device do it automatically. In our survey, we found that 16% moved data manually, a figure that was down considerably on the same survey from recent years. In 2011, for example, 31% still moved data manually between tiers. The decline in the manual movement of data is probably a result of automated storage tiering being mainstream in array products. But having said that, there are still issues with automated tiering that mean manual migration is still relatively prevalent. For example, in some cases, automated tiering lags behind real-time use patterns, which may not be responsible to get hot data where it needs to be in time. That's a reason some may still be manually moving data. Related to that, there's something known as the Monday morning syndrome, in which an array that's been quiet over the weekend moves operational to slow disk. That's another reason why you might move data manually. So you can choose to use a combination of automated tiering and manual movement, and that was an option indicated by 18% of respondents to the survey. Also in our survey, 12% said they don't move data between tiers at all, which is something I've come across among people who've implemented all flash arrays. But by far the biggest set of respondents, 54%, automated tiering functionality to move data between tiers. So, those are the key options for how to do tiering in the broadest sense, manually or automatically or a combination of the two. And if you want automated data movement, what are the key options? Well, mainly it's about switching on automated tiering functions in your array, and most vendors have this now. Another class of device that can enable tiering is storage virtualization hardware. It allows multi-vendor storage hardware to be part of the same pool of capacity. These are products such as IBM's SVC, NetApp's V-Series with virtual storage tier, and Hitachi Data Systems VSP. There's also file virtualization, system F5, which has automated tiering too.
How do different vendors implement storage tiering?
Well, the key storage vendors differ in their approaches to tiering, with wide variations in block size moved, whether data movement happens in real time or not, customization of policies, etc., etc. Dell's components arrays, for example, allow for policy-based identification of data and scheduling can be set by the user. This vendor also allows the identification of and movement of block sizes from 512 kilobytes to 4 megabytes. Tiering isn't real-time, however, so it may take some time to take effect. EMC's fully automated storage tiering has default daily movement of data, though this can be more frequent intervals and is done in real time. EMC and NetApp aim for the movement of small chunks of data. EMC's is 768 kilobytes up to 1 gigabyte, and NetApp's is in 4 kilobyte blocks, and also move it often. EMC also allows for movement to be restricted to specific time periods so that I.O. isn't getting hit at busy times. That illustrates a potential trade-off you'll need to consider. The more real-time your tiering mechanism is, the more potential there is for a processing hit. Meanwhile, HP Fabric's clustered NAS systems have a default daily data movement but can be set to hourly. HP's three-power SAN arrays can sample for data heat every 30 minutes. Finally, IBM's Easy Tier on its Z7000 arrays and the SVC storage virtualization device monitors the usage over a 24-hour period and moves it once a day and has a minimum block size of 1 megabyte. So, tiering is getting to be a must-have and mainstream technique, and the key choices are whether to do it manually or automatically or a combination of the two, as well as to decide whether it's something you can switch on in your existing array or to add it on another product.
Thank you, Anthony. And that's the end of the podcast.